case today, which is McNair versus Lake County.
So you're meeting at a bar or something?
Boyd?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Lee Boyd. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this particular matter. This was a employment discrimination matter, which I got involved in August of year 2000. At the time this matter had been pending, it had been pending for a little over 2 years, as I recall. The time that I got involved in this particular case, there had been absolutely no discovery having been taken by prior counsel in the case, no interrogatories, no requests to produce, and no depositions. When I got involved in the case, there were pending at the time two motions for summary judgment. Those motions for summary judgment had been pending for at least, as I recall, 4 to 6 months. After I got involved in the case, what I sought to do, and by the way, also discovery had also been closed as to the parties. When I got involved in the case, I tried to get additional time in which to gather documents, to do some form of discovery so that I could respond to the motions for summary judgment filed by the two defendants. Subsequently, in October of the year 2000, I and the other counsel had a status conference with the trial court, and I literally begged him to be allowed time to respond to those motions for summary judgment and also to produce certain people for depositions. There were three persons who were produced for depositions. One of them was my client. Two of them were defendants, employees of the defendants. The depositions were taken on November 1st. Subsequent to that, there was a scheduling problem, and it was settled for the 5th. This was an agreed upon act by the parties. After we had the deposition on the 5th, I did not receive the copy of the transcript, which is all I had in terms of any kind of discovery to be able to respond to the motions for summary judgment. After I obtained those, it was midday of the 8th. Midday of the 8th was the date in which the response was to be filed to the motions for summary judgment. I spoke with, as previously spoken with both counsel, and it was my feeling at the time that it was not going to be possible for me to actually get the response in on the 8th. That Monday was the 11th, which was Veterans Day and a holiday. I subsequently filed my response to the motion for summary judgment filed by Judge Bonaventure. We did not oppose the motion filed by the Lake County Board of Commissioners, because after I reviewed that motion, I determined that their position had merit. I filed my motion, my response on the 13th. The defendant, Bonaventura, then filed her response within the given time, which would have been November the 15th. Subsequent thereto, the trial court entered an order stating that since my response was filed on the 13th rather than the 8th, that therefore they were not going to consider it. The order was entered granting the motion for summary judgment. Subsequent to that, I filed a motion to reconsider that. It is our position that because of the circumstances in this particular case, where the there were two motions for summary judgment that were pending, because of the fact that there had been no discovery taken, and also because of the fact that I did not receive, was not able to receive those transcripts until the date in which the responses were due, that the decision by the trial court not to allow us to not to consider the plaintiff's response to the motion for summary judgment as it relates to Judge Bonaventura was in fact an abuse of discretion. Secondly, I'd like to point out this. This particular appeal is not and has not been taken against the Lake County Board of Commissioners. This appeal was only taken as to Judge Bonaventura. This was made known to the defendant, Lake County Board of Commissioners, in our response to the motion for summary judgment, because we indicated in there that it was only we were only opposing the motion of Judge Bonaventura. This was also indicated, as I recall, in a letter which I wrote to counsel for the defendant, Lake County Board of Commissioners. And in addition to that, during the course of the settlement conference, it was also mentioned that the only defendant that we were taking this appeal against was Judge Bonaventura.
Now, you said that you spoke with counsel after the deposition took place and explained that the transcripts wouldn't be ready. Did you get any kind of agreement from them that, I mean, or understanding that was maybe filed with the court that they agreed to your late filing? Was there any
yes.
of that that was put on in the record? Or?
The only way that I put it in the record was the response to the judge's, the trial court, denying our ability to file our response in standard. We did indicate it in there.
But you actually filed on the, is it the 13th?
We filed on the 13th.
And the 13th was a motion to file in standard?
Yes, Judge.
And that in that you indicated that you would explain the situation to counsel and they didn't have any objections.
That's
what I'm trying to
That's
get.
Correct. That's
they
correct.
They didn't have any objection to your filing a late response.
That's correct.
And then they then filed on the 15th.
Right. The as I recall, the only person that filed would have been the attorney for Judge Mary Bonaventura, simply because that is the defendant that we were responding to on the motion for summary judgment.
Ms. Barr?
May it please the court. I'm only taking 7 minutes of the appellee's time. Mr. Patrick has requested 3 minutes on behalf of Lake County. The district court properly granted Judge Bonaventura's motion for summary judgment. The district court also properly did not accept Ms. McNair's untimely filed motion for summary judgment. This court reviews such matters under the abuse of discretion standard of review. The federal trial rules, trial rule number 6, says that it's within the discretion of the district court to grant extensions of time. In this case, the district court had already granted multiple extensions of time to the plaintiff, and indeed in August and September of 2001 had accepted late filings from the plaintiff.
Now what about, can you speak to the issue that I asked Mr. Boyd about or to that question? He said that he advised you that it would take a few days to get the transcript and that his response would be late. Can you speak to that? Was
yes,
there
Your
any
Honor.
Agreement?
Yes, Your Honor. Our office did agree or indicated had no objection to plaintiff obtaining an extension of time. However, I'm not sure that we contemplated that the motion would be filed beyond the due date or that there would not be a timely filed motion for extension of time. Even if our office was contacted, say, on November 13th, do you object to our filing this and the motion in standard? It's the district court and not the parties that control the docket of the district court.
Well, I understand that, but I just wanted to know whether there was some agreement and whether that had been laid out for the district court judge at the time he made the decision. Mr. Boyd said all that was discussed in the motion to file in Stanton.
That's correct, and the district court indicated in its summary judgment order that it was aware of the agreement and found that was irrelevant, that it's still the district court's decision, and the court decided not to accept the late filing. The case law of this circuit indicates that under those circumstances, the summary judgment materials filed late and not accepted are not even a part of the record. So the district court only considered the evidence submitted by Judge Bonaventura. The cases also indicate that the granting of summary judgment is unassailable under those circumstances. That, and in this case, looking at the evidence submitted by Judge Bonaventura, it's clear that the plaintiff did not make out a case of employment discrimination. It's also worth noting that the materials submitted in her summary judgment motion were largely inadmissible. They were hearsay. The material was not sworn to, not properly authenticated. So, and the district court did indicate that notwithstanding the late filing, that she still would not have made out a case of employment discrimination. That and the factors that the court had to consider are set out in the McDonnell Douglas case, the four factors of indirect discrimination, that the party is a member of a protected class, and that's not disputed, that there was an adverse employment decision, that's not disputed, the plaintiff was fired, that she was doing her job properly, and that is disputed. She was fired for not properly calling in to report an absence. And finally, that there was discriminatory action. And that's also disputed because she has not shown that her employer treated other employees who were not African American any differently under the same circumstances. She didn't come up with any other individuals who had been fired for not complying with call-in procedures. So accordingly, in her case, she had been sent to jail on June 27. She was released from jail on July 2nd. She did not report to work until July 7th. The evidence submitted by Judge Bonaventura is that the employer received no calls from anybody after July 2nd, informing them that she would not be reporting to work. The employee handbook, the written policies, clearly state that if you are not going to be able to report to work, you call in at least 2 hours before you're due to report to work. She did not do that, and even under the evidence she attempted to submit, there were at least 2 days when she was absent without calling in. Therefore, it was appropriate for her employer to terminate her employment. There's also in the record 2 other instances of unexcused absences on the part of the plaintiff. Taken together, and that along with the written employment policies, which state that unexcused absences are reasons for discipline, up to and including termination, it was proper for Judge Bonaventura to approve the termination of the plaintiff, and the district court properly granted Judge Bonaventura's motion for summary judgment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrick?
May it please the court, my name is George Patrick, and I'm here representing Lake County by its Board of Commissioners. The reason we're here, as you'll note on the docket sheet, the notice of appeal was filed against Lake County, Judge Bonaventura, and the Juvenile Detention Center. As Mr. Boyd indicated, we indicated on several occasions, as you will find at tab A in our appendix, that he should amend the notice of appeal if he did not intend to proceed against Lake County, as we have a duty to respond. Our argument is basically twofold in the 3 minutes that I have. First, that the summary judgment issues that we raised with Title VII's test for the employer, that you'll find at Section 3 of our brief, and then the issues arising out of our Rule 38 type motion for stem from the plaintiff's failure to respond to the motion for summary judgment. And then the issues with the plaintiff's appendix. I would start with the plaintiff's appendix. I can speak briefly, Judge Williams, to this agreement that was made by the parties. I had indicated to Mr. Boyd that I had experience with Judge Lozano as being very fair in granting extensions of time, but you had to file an extension of time, and he could indicate by an agreement of the parties. He didn't do that. We've done that in the past. We've done it throughout. You will find he inherited a case where the plaintiff never followed a single timeline from the beginning. The court was extremely generous in continuously extending the time frames. So to that extent, we believe that in some ways there was no admission, as you read his response to the motion for summary judgment. He included defendants. Judge Lozano's orders hold moot Lake County's motions for summary judgment. Had he said, I'm not responding to the motion for summary judgment, Judge Lozano would have said, I now grant Lake County's motion for summary judgment, and I wouldn't be here today. We believe that as you look at our Title VII employers test, you're going to find that at tab 4 of our Rule 10 C appendix, there are a number of requests for admissions that directly address the employer test.
Well, Mr. Boyd today and apparently concedes that you're not a proper party to this litigation.
We would request an order, as we requested in the alternative in our brief, that should this court remand it or should this court make findings, that you grant our motion for summary judgment. Such things that have been said, as in his February 14 letter, 2000, written in response to the fact that we told him, if you continue, as you did in the Stringle case addressing the 38 motion, we'll seek sanctions because we're not properly a party. You never responded. He agreed in that February 14 letter. He agreed in his brief at page 19. Unequivocally stated, he's not responding. He never said that to Judge Lozano. Had he said that to Judge Lozano, you're absolutely right, Judge, I wouldn't be here today. He didn't take that approach. He tried to muddy the waters. He tried to keep us all in the case. And I'm not going to address what happened at the settlement conference under discussion because I believe that was confidential. But be that as it may, we believe that clears up any
confusion. Well, I'll ask him when he gets back up if he still wants to keep you in the case.
Well, we believe that admission would have cleared up any confusion from Judge Lozano's point of view. He never said that. So to that extent, we believe that when he filed his notice of appeal, it was frivolous from the onset. It was doomed. He had no chance. And so to that extent, that's why we have been as vehement about these issues, because we have been seeking an order to separate ourselves from that. Thank you.
If I may.
Why did you name them in your notice of appeal?
The notice of appeal was written in the caption. The reason, first of all, let me say this to the this panel. In the motion for summary judgment, the footnote, clearly there's a footnote in that motion for summary judgment. And in the footnote to the motion for summary judgment, it indicates that we're only responding to the motion for summary judgment by Judge Bonaventura. That's the only one. And if he, all he had to do was look at the motion for summary judgment, and he could see that. In addition to that, as I recall, he never filed any kind of response to my motion or my response.
Well, do you want him in the case or not?
Absolutely not.
So if we dismiss it right here at this this proceeding, you don't have a problem?
No, absolutely not. He is.
To clarify, I simply asked that the order would answer that our motion for summary judgment was granted. That we were successful on the merits, proving that we were not appointed
employees.
Well,
that's
free
for
all.
If free for all,
we'll go ahead.
If I may, I can't tell you why it is Judge Lozano wrote his order the way he did, but we were clear. We were clear in the district court that they were not a party to our response to the motion for summary judgment. And in addition to that, he was told directly by me in response to the letter that he wrote, that he indicated that they were not a party to this particular matter. Now, as far as filing the motion for extension of time, it was on the 8th of November when I found out that I could not get it in on the 8th of November because all I had to respond to those motions was the deposition. That's it. That's all I had.
Well, you knew that the day before, and 2 days before that, too.
We were told that we were going to be able to get the transcripts before then. If I had gotten that transcript on the 6th, which is what it was that
But you didn't have it on the 6th, and why didn't you file a motion then to extend time?
The reason why I didn't do that is because I didn't think that after I had the agreement that and the defendant Bonaventura indicated that they had no objection and the other defendant...
I understand that. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the judge.
Judge, if I may say this. Even if I had filed that particular motion on the 6th or the 7th or the 8th, it still would not have would have interfered with what the judge's schedule was. His schedule was he wanted that in by the 8th. It was going to be difficult as it was to do that. Part of the reason why it backed up that far is because there was a scheduling problem, not with anybody that I had, my client, but there was a scheduling problem with one of the defendant's people who had to be deposed, not me. And if I had gone in and I had filed the motion, I was trying to get the response in. That's what I was trying to do. And since I had the agreement with Bonaventura that she didn't have a problem with me doing that, then it just didn't make sense to try to get into the district court to file that and then try to get it done at the same time. It just didn't make sense. Thank you, Mr. Boyd. Your time is up.
Case will be taken under advisement. We move to the third case for the day.